Thanks, Eddie, for this introduction. Yes, therefore today I will speak a little bit about both of these things. I have done a lot throughout the last 10 years, which... Oh, yes, I know. But firstly, actually, just to make you guys hear what I would like to talk about for the next 15 minutes, I have an audio example, and that's why I didn't plot in my PowerPoint yet. So let me try and play this example for you. Are you ready on that? There's a speaker too, but there's also some music behind there, which you should listen to, because there will add some low-frequency reverberation, artificial, and you guys, I'm sure you'll recognize what that sounds like.
What you are listening to now is a piece of music with no artificial reverberation added. This is similar to a concert hall with a very short reverberation time. To make an analogy to what a hall with a long reverberation time at low frequency sounds like, we simply add 2 seconds of artificial reverberation to the low frequencies. The amount added corresponds to the distance from the speakers. As you can hear, this completely destroys the sound clarity of the concert hall. The reverberant sounds of the bass frequencies mask even the higher frequencies, making the experience for the audience, sound engineers, and musicians unsatisfactory.
Did you recognize that sound a little bit from concert halls? Yeah. Of course, this long reverberation time of a hall is what creates this unfavorable sound. And now I will talk a little bit how this is created, and also I've been researching quite a bit what would then be the recommendable reverberation times for halls at various frequency bands and so on. And I'll talk very briefly about that today at this point, and some more about some invention I came up with of inflatable membrane absorbers that'll actually take care of this problem. But I'll be more elaborate on both things later today at 12:40 in the MMR room, multimedia room downstairs. There's going to be a showcase, and I'm going to be there it starts at 12, and I'm starting personally at 12:35, 12:40. But here's a run-through first. Of course, we know that sound in a room consists of two components, the direct sound, and then all the reflections, the direct sound being from myself here in this case, and the loudspeakers, and then, of course, all the reflections that are created first, reflections, and then later they will multiply into hundreds and thousands of reflections, creating this reverberation.
It's reflecting off
half dome right now. Oh, you don't get this one. Do you know why?
I didn't know if you started your slideshow.
Okay. Thank you. Still looks good. Maybe I can talk about the sound in the canyons. All right, great. Thanks a lot. No problem. Okay, so, you know, this guy here, there's the direct sound and then all the reflections multiplying into thousands of reflections. And the latter part of those first reflections will then form the reverberation. As we see here, there's this thing. You create a sound and the sound decay over time forms the reverberation. And the reverberation time is when 60 dB lowering of that decay. And so, of course, acoustics is indeed happening in the time domain, as time is such an important thing in acoustics. And of course, I mean, if this reverberation has not decayed enough before the next sound is happening, we get this muddy sound as we experienced in the audio example before. And here are examples of 8 halls with various reverberation times versus frequency, because, you know, the low-frequency reverberation we heard in the audio example is maybe something you would experience in this hall here, and maybe also in this hall, and this hall. Actually, most halls have a longer reverberation time at low frequencies, and that is the number one enemy of amplified music in halls for talking about location, location, location. Well, that's it. That's the most hostile environment for a rock concert. I did some recommendations on which are then the recommendable reverberation time. And here we got the solid line here is showing the recommendable reverberation time in a hall versus the volume of the hall. So when one of you guys is gonna design a room for that'll host amplified music, such as pop and rock, you would then, you know, say, well, this is a 5,000 cubic meter hall, then I need a 0.9 second reverberation time. At which frequency? Well, okay, if you can keep it straight throughout the frequency span, this frequency span, you're all set. But I'll talk much more about that later today. Here in this scheme here, it's the 20 halls that were investigated and formed the basis of the recommendations. The large dots are the favorites among musicians and professional sound engineers in Denmark. And so the line is in accordance with what they thought would be the best. And I should say at this point that this very low reverberation time here was only favored by sound engineers, of course. That was number one by the sound engineers among the 20 halls because they have complete control over everything. So it's kind of, yeah, it's time to go to party when they play in this hall. But the musicians actually lack some sound, just some sound coming from walls and ceiling and so on. And so it's only number 10 among musicians. So there's a narrow window which should be followed. So you cannot just take as low as possible a reverberation time. That's not good for amplified music either. Actually, it showed. When I then took these 20 halls and divided them into the best halls and the worst halls, the worst 10 and the best halls, regarding reverberation time up here and regarding frequency here. So this is the reverberation, the average reverberation time of the worst 10 halls. And as you see, what distinguishes those from the 10 best halls is a much longer reverberation time at the low frequencies. So this is as mentioned, as shown in the audio example in the beginning, indeed the reason for a bad sounding hall. So we should try anything when we design halls for amplified music to keep that down, the reverberation time at low frequencies. And of course the reason is that this low frequency sound will mask even higher direct sound. So this reverberant low frequency sound masks everything else, even the direct sound of the low frequencies and the higher frequencies. And of course there's a lot of busy stuff going on in the music of pop and rock music in the lower frequencies. So one tone will mask the other one. It's very syncopated music in the low frequencies, which is the reason for this problem. Well, the audience absorption curves here for an standing audience. Here you see that a standing audience, which is this line, they absorb close to nothing at low frequencies, but they absorb everything at high frequencies. They absorb actually six times more at high frequencies. So if you have a very reverberant hall before the audience comes in, well, they're not going to fix it in the low frequencies, but they will fix a lot of it at the high frequencies. And the fact you know about the critical distance, that the distance at which the reverberant sound is equal to the direct sound, and it's kind of behind that line, it gets more and more muddy, right? The sound experience. Well, since high frequencies, the Q, the directivity of high frequencies is usually higher, you can aim that high frequency sound down on the audience who will then absorb the sound. Whereas the low frequency sound, well, the audience are not going to absorb a lot of it, but even if you could aim it, and that's why the we're talking directivity of low frequencies a lot here. That's because, okay, well, we would like to try and aim it as much as possible so we don't make every available surface in the hall reflecting those low frequencies. And so usually we cannot get as high a directivity at low frequencies as at high frequencies. Therefore, we'll have a a lot of people in the audience behind that critical distance line suffering from a low frequency reverberation. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about solving this problem and this new technology. Here's that audience absorption curve again. This is, by the way, seated audiences. Here's the standing audience. And this is an absorption curve of a drape in front of a wall, a curtain, a piece of molten in front of a wall. And as you see, that's not going to solve a lot of our low-frequency absorption problems. So we want to go and absorb those low frequencies, right? So we avoid that low-frequency reverberation. But we're not going to be very successful in solving that problem using molten and curtain material, because that absorbs a lot of high frequency again and not very much low frequency. So we're going to just double the effect of the audience. The audience are already making the hall unbalanced in terms of reverberation time when they enter. So we want to look for some other kind of absorption that can absorb low frequencies and not so much the high, because that's just going to unbalance again, you know, regarding the audience. So I went into that 10 years ago and thought, well, how can we do this? Of course, I was thinking membrane absorption right away, which is the normal way to absorb low frequencies. And then I came up with this inflated absorbers. And the reason for that was that I wanted to make a variable absorption, so a permanently installed absorption system for multi-purpose venues, so you can push a button and then make something happen that will lower the reverberation time, also at low frequencies. And that's why I thought about membrane absorption. And it evolved into simply reinventing the plastic bag, I have to admit. who cares, because it actually works. And here's the absorption curve of these tubes that you saw on the other picture. That was an early picture from Fraunhofer reverberation room, and this was the absorption curve we got from it. So the gray line here, as you see, is pretty linear throughout 63 to 1K. So it's not only a low frequency absorption; it's an absorption that goes to the high frequency, to the mid frequency of 1,000 hertz, and then decreases. So it leaves, you know, the whole pretty balanced when the audience are there, because the audience take over at 1K and control that sound. So this makes up pretty much for all the rest, and also the lack of cue that might be, the lack of directivity from the speakers. So this is the inflated state, and this is the deflated state. So it's almost non-existent, it's kind of transparent to the sound when it's not inflated. So that developed into two different types of products. The permanently installed system, where you want to vary the acoustics in a multipurpose hall according to what type of music is being played. And then another product, which is a mobile product. And last year, the Eurovision Song Contest, which is the second largest television event in the world every year, took place in Copenhagen. And the ingenious minds behind this, they thought, well, this would be a good location. And actually, it turned out that we have a reverberation time like this one in the empty state. So we had like 13 seconds at 250 and 11 seconds at 125. And, you know, so this is like the worst nightmare. Talking about location, this is the worst nightmare of a rock concert. Well, you know, but we had to kind of make it work. And so it's fine to come up with a new solution and a new technique for absorption and stuff. But if nobody dares to use it the first time, there's not much, you know, I can't do anything. So it took the balls of a great acoustic engineer who's actually today hosting this session, Eddie. He was the appointed acoustician on this job in Denmark, and he had the courage to endorse this technology. And even though it had never been used before in this scale at all, and we then got to use it. And we used in this big hall, it's kind of, it's the size of a stadium, more or less. So it's a huge, huge shipyard with this reverberation time you saw. And so we needed, calculated, 7,000 or 8,000 square meters of this stuff to bring down the reverberation time. And we chose to place that, the stage would be back here playing this way, so this would be the back end of the hall, we treated the ceiling, we treated kind of isolating a part of the venue away, so that wouldn't reverberate, thanks, into the hall. So that was the treatment we did, and you saw, here are some photos of the actual installation, a 50 meter high venue, 150 feet, so it's a huge venue. And these tubes are 50 meters long. These are 35 meters long. This was the insulation between the two volumes. We didn't want the other volume to resonate in the first room. And we got down to... this one was before we isolated the volume. And this one is what we got with all the 7,000 square meters of absorption. So we got from 13 to 4 seconds. That's quite something, and at 125 and 63, this is I think it's probably first and only time in the history of acoustics that something like that has been obtained. So I'm very proud to be a part of that, and of course it would have been impossible to have a rock concert going on in this room without some low frequency absorption. And then the audience came in and corrected it even further to this reverberation. And I was there, and I had a good time. and so did 10,000 other people. Okay, that was the case number one. So case number two is in an actual stadium, the Amsterdam Arena, with One Direction, which is the most happening band in the world right now. 55,000 people, and we did this, and we got... this from a very long reverberation. I'm not allowed to say the reverberation times. So, yeah, that speaks for itself. But we got here, and then with the help of the audience, we got here. So this is incredible as well. And then a third case is Kraftwerk, the German group, electronic band. They played in the Neue Nationalgalerie, and we got this. This is incredible. We did use only 500 square meters of absorbers in a 20,000 square meter cubic meter room. So this is amazing results, and I can't really believe it myself. But it's fine, and it's fantastic. And then we have this permanent installed system, which is either deflated, so you can play your symphonic music, or inflated, so you can play your rock concerts. And you will get, here's a photo of that. I'll get more into detail at 12:40 for those interested in the other room. I think I don't have much more time. But that's all the time I need. Sorry? Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Do you want this one? Yeah. Okay.